I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. We continue looking at the region in light of upcoming municipal elections this Saturday, the 20th of October, with Brent Richter of the North Shore News. We'll talk about his beat as a full-time reporter. A lot of us have come to rely on his reporting in the paper and online on Twitter. He covers city councils, crime, and everything else that happens in the two North Vancouvers, West Vancouver, and the other parts north of Burrard Inlet. Affordability seems to be on a lot of people's minds as it's as is transportation infrastructure. I'll ask Mr. Richter about these issues and others that people on the North Shore are considering as they vote. Brent Richter is a graduate of Langara College's journalism department. The Twitter handle is at Brent Richter. The website is nsnews.com. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, Brent Richter. Mr. Richter, good morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for coming in to do this. I appreciate it. I mentioned the two North Vancouvers in the introduction. So there's the District of North Vancouver and the City of North Vancouver. You must be sick answering this question. But what's the difference between the two?
Well, the City of North Vancouver is totally surrounded by the District of North Vancouver. In 1907, a group of landowners petitioned the province to say, hey, let's give us our own municipality. It'll be cheaper for us to service and develop. And for reasons that baffle me, the province said yes.
So I guess Lonsdale Key, which a lot of us are familiar with, that's, I guess, the city itself, is that right?
That's right, yeah. The city is essentially, this runs along the spine of Lonsdale and about 12 blocks on either side.
Yeah, and so that's currently, its mayor is currently Daryl Musato, is that right? And he's not running for re-election again?
No.
Who's running in to succeed him?
Well, we've got an interesting race there. We've got one of his council allies, Linda Buchanan, who he has endorsed, running for mayor. We've got one of his council foes, that is Rod Clark, running for mayor. And the main mayoral challenger to Daryl Musato last time, Carrie Morris, is back again. And also former councillor Guy Haywood is seeking the big chair as well. So and there are a couple of other lesser-known candidates.
So is it really a four-way race there in the city?
I think they've split the vote in a pretty lopsided way. Linda Buchanan is what you would consider an urbanist, wants to continue developing, emphasizing walkability and biking and transit and whatnot, whereas we've got three serious contenders running against her, all saying we have to rein in development and we have to make driving easier. And I don't know how... I don't know which one of them is going to present the biggest challenge to her, but the fact that there's three of them and one of her is going to make it very difficult for someone who shares their values to get elected.
Is there polling in North Vancouver as to say who's ahead or who's...
No, none that I've seen.
Yeah. So in the district, the guy, his name's Walton, Richard Walton,
that's,
is that right?
That's correct, yeah. And we've
heard of him, I guess, in other parts of the region because of his role, let's say, on the TransLink board and other regional issues. He's not running for re-election, right?
No, he's taking a well-earned break.
And what does that race there in the district look like?
Well, you know, the apparent front runner is a former councillor, Mike Little. He served three terms on council and then left to run for the federal Conservatives in the new riding of Burnaby North Seymour. He didn't get elected, and now he's back in local politics and running for mayor. I would say his most organized challenger would be Ash Emlani, who is the head of a new electors slate called Building Bridges. And that said, there are other names on the ballot who are putting up serious campaigns. There's a fellow by the name of Erez Barzile, who's from Deep Cove, who's running on a campaign of slowing the growth. And we have another candidate, Glenn Webb, who is very much an urbanist. And one other fellow by the name of Dennis Maskell, who's also sort of running on that slow the growth message.
There was a guy who was mayor once, and he's running again. Is that in West Vancouver?
That's in West Vancouver. You're thinking Mark Sager.
Yeah, and that's the guy who some issue with regards to how he conducted himself with his practice. Is that right?
Yeah, he has a hearing pending with the Law Society related to an incident that, if I recall correctly, he accepted gifts from someone who was not officially his client, which runs contrary to a number of rules. However,
he claims that it's it was a family friend, if you will.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, the incumbent in West Vancouver, is she running again?
Incumbent mayor is Mike Smith.
Oh, pardon
me. And no, he's going for a walk in the sand.
So it's Sager, and then it's two.
Two
councillors, right?
Yeah, two incumbent council members, Marianne Booth and Christine Cassidy.
And so you're going to see, regardless of what happens on, well, I don't know, I'll ask you, will there be, I mean, the current mayors will not be sitting, will not be retain their office after the 20th.
Nope.
Or I guess the first week of November. So will there be a great change, do you think, in how that part of the world, those three municipalities, will be run, say?
It's hard to say. You know, I mean, we talk a lot about what the mayors are campaigning on and who's running and who's going to win and is the vote split. But, you know, the mayor's always just one vote on council. And the makeup of the rest of the council is going to have, you know, a much greater impact on the future of the municipality than whoever wins the mayor is. You know, the mayor can break a tie vote, but, you know, if you've got six people who feel one way and a mayor who feels a different way, that's much more significant.
And beyond just the import to the citizens of those respective cities on the North Shore, as we know, people who have been elected there have gone on to say, regional boards serve and then shape policy throughout the entire region.
That's right, yeah.
So what does that mean? Because I know transportation's a big issue there. I mean, I once took the bus from the Quay. I had to go to Capilano Mall for a book sale. And so I looked it up on Google, and they said the bus, it'll take 7 minutes or something like that. Well, it didn't take 7 minutes. I think it took like 40 minutes because of just traffic. It was a Saturday afternoon, and it was jammed. And I'm assuming from what I hear, you know, that's the case all the time. There's gridlock going east-west across the shore. Is that correct?
Well, sometime shortly after 2012 or sometime in 2012, we sort of hit a tipping point on Highway 1 with the number of cars that it could handle during the rush hour. And once you hit that tipping point, everything just kind of slows down.
Yeah.
And there have been a couple studies into why that is. And but yeah, it's you know, transportation maybe wasn't one of the top issues two or three elections ago, but it certainly is now.
And is that because there are a lot of, say, there's an increase in the number of residents on the North Shore?
Well, it depends which candidates in the election you ask. Some of them will tell you absolutely yes. Unfortunately, though, you know, the census found the North Shore grew, the three municipalities together, by about 3.3% over the last census period. However, there was a much larger growth in the number of people who work there but commute in. And if you're looking for the smoking gun, so to speak, it's probably that.
Mm-hmm. So then that means that there's an eye to improving connections north-south from the shore to Vancouver, right?
Well, yes and no. We recently got a look at a fairly comprehensive report from the government, the province, called the Integrated North Shore Transportation Planning Project. It basically looked at all of the reasons why traffic suddenly got so bad and then what are some ideas to help get us out of it. And it did not say, you know, we should have a SkyTrain, you know, going to the Fraser Valley.
Mm-hmm.
It did suggest an express bus connecting the North Shore to Phibbs Exchange to the SkyTrain system. And it says over the long term, they should continue looking at tunneling under the inlet for rapid transit between the Lonsdale Spine and downtown.
Waterfront, yeah.
But, well, I know I was researching once and I came by an editorial that said you can expect the second coming before the third crossing.
I was reading on the North Shore News' website, it's probably an article that you did, about an idea to have, say, LRT or light rail across from,
yeah,
say,
I did
West
that
Van.
Story a couple weeks ago.
And so the map was quite, you know, elaborate in terms of the number of stations that
Well, the person who's pitching this idea is, you know, his name's Stefan Neuweiler. He's an SFU prof. He's absolutely qualified to be advancing this argument. What he's suggesting is that the North Shore already has a high enough density of jobs and population to justify the expense of LRT, or light rapid transit, and eventually connecting that over the Second Narrows into the SkyTrain system in a sort of a two-phase project. He'd be the first to tell you it still needs a lot more study, and it has to be TransLink in the province that pursue that study, but that's what he's hoping will come from it.
Yeah. Getting around, though, I mean, you're a reporter there. I mean, do you find that it's hard to get around in that part of the world, say, in the middle of the day for you to, say, do your job?
Middle of the day is not too bad, but, you know, rush hour starts at, like, 2:30 now on the North Shore. And if anything goes wrong on either bridge, if there's
an accident or
a crash or something, you know, I always tell people, use the washroom before you get out on the road, because you could be out there a while.
Yeah.
It took me an hour and a half to get home on Thursday evening because of a stall or a crash on the bridge.
Yeah. So I guess we're all talking about affordability, regardless of where you are in Metro Vancouver, and I suppose that's a concern of a lot of people in the North Shore. We tend to think that people that live there are well-heeled, but as you said, the population's grown a great deal, that there are a number of renters that live there now that wouldn't have probably lived there before. Is that a correct assumption on my part, say?
Yeah, and, you know, having the two municipalities, there are certainly differences between them. You know, the District of North Vancouver had one of the highest average incomes, according to the census in all of Canada. That said, the North Shore also has one of the highest percentages of people who are paying more than 30% of their income for shelter costs, or also more than 50%. So, yeah, it's bimodally skewed, I guess you could say. There's a lot of wealthy people, but there's a lot of people who are really struggling too.
And so densification, has that happened throughout, say, West Van and North Van over the last little bit?
I feel a little bad for West Van because they get a lot of flack for capitulating to developers, but they really don't even consider very much. And when they do decide to approve something, it's usually, you know, 5 years before they go from concept to a vote, and then there's construction. So, you know, West Van has done, they're actually, according to the census, their population was shrinking.
Huh. Yeah. I've been to the Quay a few times, so I go over there and meet up with George Orr and have a drink or several, and I noticed that Lonsdale Quay in particular is a lot livelier now than it was, say, 10, 15 years ago. I mean, is that I don't get over there very often, but I remember the Sea Bus was full that day. Actually, a couple times that I've been there, they've been full, and it's different times of day, too. And the Quay, I mean, there's a gallery there now, and it just seems like, you know, it's almost like, well, I guess it was always like Granville Island, but it's a lot busier, too.
Yeah, you know, the Quay is one component of it, but Lower Lonsdale itself has undergone a pretty big transition over the years, and that's something, you know, for good or for bad, you can attribute to Daryl Masato. He's had a vision for Lower Lonsdale to be, you know, a vibrant cultural hub and place where people recreate and people live and people work. And they've started a pretty big project to create a public space called the Shipyards. And that's definitely a piece of his legacy. And so if you've noticed that, I'm sure Daryl would be pleased to hear that.
So even though these folks are the incumbents are not running again for mayor, an election is a good time, say, to gauge of past performance. I asked you this a moment ago as to whether there'll be a change or not, but if there is a change, is that reflective, say, on how people feel on the performance of the previous government?
Maybe. I mean, it's so hard to read people's intentions when you look at, you know, ballot totals. If North Vancouver elects a council that decides that they're going to start saying no to developers and they're going to consider fewer applications and whatnot, well, then, yeah, you could say that, you know, there's been a shift politically that, you know, the people in the city of North Van aren't so interested in seeing further towers go up for a while.
The last year's, what's the last year? The last, I can't remember my dates now, but the last provincial election, the results there, does that provide any gauge at all as to where public support might be for a particular candidate this time around?
Again, it's really hard to make those comparisons. The fact that North Van Lonsdale did elect an NDP member, I mean, that could indicate something, but I also find the traditional left-right dichotomy means very little at the municipal level.
Right.
It's more a question of whether you are an urbanist or a small C conservative who wishes, you know, to conserve things the way they are.
Yeah, and so what does that mean then, say, for next year's federal election?
I don't know.
I guess
I apologize, Joe. I'm not ready to think about federal election yet.
We're all working to Saturday. I think that's the thing. One of your colleagues, well, I guess you're all owned by Glacier, so one of your colleagues was here last week, Kelvin Gawley, and
very talented guy.
He is. One of the ridings, I guess, is Burnaby North Seymour, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's part of Burnaby, and that's part of the North Shore. That's Terry Beach's seat.
That's correct, yes.
And I guess people are saying that Sven Robinson will run again.
That's the rumor.
Yeah, and that's what Mr. Gawley said in his reporting was what he's been hearing.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those seats, I mean, those three seats historically, I mean, there were always Tory ridings or Reform and then Alliance and then Conservative ridings. And then 2015 was sort of, you know, an aberration, if you will, in terms of how that part of the world voted. Or has it changed?
I mean, the North Shore has elected Liberals many times in the past. I don't have a tally in front of me. I would expect maybe Conservative more than Liberal, but I could easily be corrected on that. As for Burnaby North Seymour, you know, it was sort of expected to be the Conservatives riding to lose, and it went to the Liberals, who I think were, at the beginning, maybe expected to place third. And I guess it's sort of, you know, in its inaugural election, it became a bellwether riding.
Was that where the NDP candidate was a former judge, right?
That's correct, yeah.
When you look at the North Shore, as it changes as it does, do you find that the outlook of what people are concerned about? I mean, you mentioned a moment ago that people are looking for candidates that are either, you know, traditionally conservative or say looking to urbanize their part of the world. Is it becoming a more cosmopolitan place, say?
Yeah, well, certainly.
It's awfully expensive, I understand.
Especially the city, yeah. In that, you know, they've made a point of making it, you know, especially that Lonsdale Hub in Lower Lonsdale, they've made a point of making it, you know, there's that great new home for the Polygon Gallery. It used to be Presentation House Gallery. Very divisive architecture. I happen to think it looks lovely.
Yeah.
There's that. The new museum and archives will be going in down there. They're wooing in some nice restaurants. And there's, you know, it's Lower Lonsdale, I think, has always punched above its weight for restaurants. But, the city is very much cosmopolitan now.
And so does that change, say, how they vote politically?
That's a good question. It's a riding it's an area that's statistically younger, you know, than West Vancouver, which is one of the statistically older municipalities in the Lower Mainland. I suspect there is a relationship there between, you know, trying to woo in a young population that, you know, wants transit and bike lanes and would, you know, a walkable neighborhood as opposed to a single family home out in the valley. That's what they've been seeking, and I think that's what they're getting, and probably that's going to impact political outcomes too.
How many times does the North Shore News publish a week?
We're twice a week.
Twice a week.
And we've recently added one Chinese edition one day a week.
And I think that that's unique to the region. I mean, all the other, I mean, the Courier here publishes once a week.
Yeah, I don't know which papers still publish more than twice a week. None that I can think of off the top of my head.
So that must speak to, say, the importance that, that the North Shore News plays in the community there and how people rely on that for its news. And I mean, you must realize that working the beats that you do.
Yeah, well, I mean, we don't have a local competitor anymore. And I lament that. But I find it smarts a lot more when I get scooped on something now than it used to. Mm. We are sort of the last person standing, so to speak, when it comes to being at every council meeting, or at least having our people out at council meetings every Monday. Can't get them all with our two council reporters, but.
So at a press conference, say, if one of the police forces has a police conference or a council meeting. There aren't very many members of the media. Usually it's just you, say?
Oh, if the police are going so far as to have a press conference, it's usually something fairly interesting or important, and you'll get the dailies and radio and TV crews coming over. But for the most part, for a TV, you know, for CBC to show up at a district council meeting, it's got to be a really big issue.
But McElroy shows up for anything nowadays, it seems.
Yeah. I'm his biggest fan, and I don't understand how he does what he does.
He's a remarkable person. So this must show for you the importance of the community paper, not just at election time and not just to say a delivery vessel for flyers. People do rely on the North Shore News in that part of the world, don't they?
Yeah, I think even before, I think we sort of were considered the paper of record on the North Shore. I won't be caught dead pumping my own tires on air, but we do get some very heartening messages from time to time from people saying, yes, you know, we do rely on you to tell us what's going on. Being the only game in town, we're also a lightning rod for people who don't like what we do.
You must hear from a lot of those folks, right?
Yeah, disproportionately.
I'm a big fan of Trevor Lawton's, and there was a column that he did recently, and they ran something underneath that said they had to make it clear that he was an opinion columnist, because I guess people will write in thinking that it's a news article, right?
Yeah, I think people generally... media literacy is at the point where people don't understand the difference between a news article, a column, and an editorial. Trevor was endorsing his favorite candidate, and we just wanted to make it super clear that this was Trevor's opinion and that the North Shore News does not endorse candidates.
What do you make of the state of the media? I mean, you mentioned the lack of literacy, say, nowadays. That must dissuade people of say, our generation who might be thinking of a career in the media.
Oh, God. You know, I...
Especially when you look at what's happening down south, you know, in the United States. I mean, did people around you at the time that you decided to, when you were at Langara, say, wanting to pursue a career in journalism, say that you were nuts?
I graduated in 2008, so right at the beginning of the recession, which, you know, disproportionately hit advertising-dependent businesses like ours. I knew it was going through a time of transition. I knew that online was presenting challenges to print media. I knew that, and I went into it anyways. I guess, you know, we're still here. You know, I'm really proud of the work that we're doing today. And I'd like to think that, you know, there's going to be some sort of turning point where things are going to get better. I'm told we're in pretty good shape right now, which is nice to hear. But as for somebody else trying to get into it, I would have to have a good long think before I told someone that they should, you know, invest that time and go into media, because even if they graduate at the top of their class, there are very few options for them right now.
Amongst your class of, in 2008, how many of them, say, are in daily journalism?
Oof. Not many.
Yeah.
Maybe two or three.
Yeah. So I mean, around election time, though, I mean, do you find that... Because people are always concerned about voter turnout, and you know, you're in a business that I guess is covering these elections, and so you have some sort of interest, I suppose, in whether people show up to vote. Are you finding, say, a correlation between, say, the interest in journalism, that the sort of revival in the interest of journalism that we're seeing throughout the world nowadays, especially in the Trump era, and say people showing up to vote?
You know, nothing would please me more than to look at the results on election night and see that, you know, old records had fallen and, you know, the trend was swinging up again. I would absolutely love to see that. I don't know to what extent we can take credit, but, you know, we're out there every Monday night at council and at home writing until, you know, 1 or 2 in the morning. So that story's ready for first thing in the morning. And it's because we want it to land in the laps of people who need to know this or want to know this.
What was it for you that you decided to go into journalism?
I had to choose between applying to Langara College or writing my LSAT, and I knew a lot of unhappy lawyers. And, you know, I wanted something where I could put my personality into my work.
Yeah, and so you've been able to do that, as I said, because, you know, I read you regularly, I follow you on Twitter, and you have not only an interest in doing a good job, but I mean, you have an interest in... I mean, your personality does come through in your writing and the stories that you cover. And so there are obviously no regrets in terms of the career choice, right?
Oh, no. I can't wait to get into the office on Monday.
Yeah. How big of an office is it in terms of reporters and the sort?
Our total newsroom is about 10 people when you... add up editors and editorial assistants and photographers, and so that's not everybody working at the same time, but it's about 10 warm bodies, so to speak.
And then the readership, I mean, that's usually stayed the same, hasn't it, in terms of that paper itself?
Of circulation?
Yeah.
I could be corrected. You know, last I discussed it with my publisher, I think it was 60,000, and we were maybe going up a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. So as you said a moment ago, it does bode well for where you work and for I guess journalism in this part of the world. I mean, they're obviously every Thursday or Friday you're worried to check your Twitter to see who's been fired, right? Whatever business.
Yeah, I'm totally optimistic about the North Shore news. I don't have feelings of dread anymore.
Yeah. Well, that's good then. Yeah. What does your Saturday the 20th look like in terms of will you be at different events, say, on the shore?
Well, the laws of physics being what they are, I can only be at one of them. We've yet to meet in the newsroom and draw straws to see who's going to be where. But yeah, I expect we'll have one reporter per municipality, and we'll have an editor and maybe somebody else helping out aside.
And election nights are usually fun in your business, I understand.
Don't share that opinion.
No. You're not a fan of pizza, I guess, for dinner?
I don't mind pizza. I could eat pizza at home. No, yeah. I find elections very, very stressful to cover.
Well, what are you looking in terms of, let's say if you had to write the headline for Sunday, have you got a sense of where the race might be, especially in terms of the North Shore elections?
I organize the office election pool every time there's an election where we try to guess who's going to win, and I have never won the election pool. So I really can't. I've got mine sort of written and rewritten and rewritten a few times so far this time around.
It's one of those elections, isn't it? And we're speaking here in Vancouver. I mean, we have a sense of what's going to happen, but even, you know, say, laying money out to bet, I mean, I less than a week before Saturday the 20th, I don't know where I'm going. I don't even know who I'm going to vote for yet at this point.
I'm in the same boat.
Yeah.
I'm in the same boat.
What, in terms of, say, the makeup of the population, I meant to ask this earlier, are you seeing a change, say, in the ethnicities of the people that live on the North Shore? Has that changed a great deal?
As I recall, West Van was going through some pretty rapid change in terms of the number of people from outside Canada who were making a home there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's part of the reason that we decided to start publishing a Chinese edition one day a week, was because there'd been such a growth in the Chinese population there. And, you know, the North Shore's always had a very large Persian community, and that continues to grow as well.
The Chinese edition, have you got, is it simply a translation of what you guys have done, say? And then,
yeah, the way it works is every Friday the editor takes stories that have already run in either the Wednesday or the Friday edition, and then she decides which ones will be sent off to be basically rewritten or translated into simplified Mandarin, and then it's off to the printers with photos and out on the racks a day or so later.
And what's the response you've gotten from, say, readers of that edition?
From the readers of that?
Yeah.
To me directly, not a whole lot. However, yeah. I understand from my publisher, it's been quite popular, and he's had a lot of good feedback, and advertisers have liked it too, which makes us happy.
Yeah. The community paper, I mean, it really does play an important role, and when we're seeing, say, proprietors of paper shutting down editions throughout the province, throughout the country, it does shut down, say, the first line of connection that people have to the community, right?
Yeah, you know, last week was, or the week before, was National Newspaper Week, and it was sort of a time for us to toot our own horn a little bit. We, you know, when it comes to news in communities in particular, we are the ones that are doing the heavy lifting, and you know, occasionally the dailies or the TV or radio news will swoop in on a story, but you know, usually it's one and done. And whereas, you know, for us, it'll probably, you know, have multiple follow ups if it's a big story.
Yeah. What because it'd be, you have a website that's a lot of people rely on as well. Has your role as a reporter changed in terms of, say, getting the story, not just for one of the two editions a week, but say, online right away? I mean, did you work to that sort of deadline as well?
Yeah, we do, especially if it's something that we know our competitors in the larger market are going to do. Like, if there's an announcement of some kind that's happening in North Vancouver, you know, we'll be there and we'll rush it out. If there's a police press release that goes out, we'll kind of like drop what we're doing to reprioritize to get something online, usually after an interview if possible. But that's still very much part of the game.
And shooting video as well for the website and for Twitter, and
that's less of an issue for us. We're one of the few papers that still has photographers, and it shows because we have wonderful photos in our paper.
Yeah, I don't get the physical paper, but I see them online, and there's usually a difference. But man, the stuff that illustrates, say, your stories or your colleagues' stories, I mean, that's first class stuff.
It is. I'm so proud of the photos and the photographers that we have. If it were just me and my iPhone, it would be a pretty drab looking paper, out of focus with the tip of my finger in the corner of the frame.
You live in Vancouver. I live in Vancouver. We're speaking from Vancouver. Do you have any sense of what's going to happen here on Saturday?
Not at all. Well, I mean, I guess you've got such a wide field of candidates that's running. And this is also an issue on the North Shore that, you know, even if the community maybe has a general feeling of what it is they'd like, they have to coalesce their vote around some candidate or group of candidates.
To prevent some other one that they don't want.
Yeah, there's very interesting splits that are happening all over the place in all of these races. And so I think the key for any of these candidates that, you know, maybe have 10 other people or 12 other people running on the same message as them, the key for them is to find a way to distinguish themselves, you know, I think the ground game, door knocking, is going to have a big impact on who's elected and who's not.
Yeah.
You know, you might have a popular candidate, but who's running on a message, but doesn't have them volunteers to help him get elected or her get elected. And so, yeah, like I said, I don't expect I'm going to win the office election pool this year either. I have no idea what's going to happen.
I do worry, though, that the people will turn up to vote this time around. And then if their candidate doesn't win or whatever issue they want, you know, like Brexit, for example, then there'll be this huge buyer's remorse the next day or, you know, the next 4 years that it'll turn them off from voting the next time around.
All I hope is that the people who wind up on council are the people that clearly did their homework beforehand. You know, it's one thing to say, to campaign and say, we need affordable housing. But if they're not the ones saying, we're going to use our land to leverage federal subsidies to create affordable housing, you know, that's what I want to see. Those people who are elected, the people that who have not just a vision but an idea of how they're going to achieve it.
Finally, when you're out at these all candidates meetings and the sort covering them, are they well attended? Are the rooms full?
The meetings that I've been to and that we've covered have been packed, like overflow. So I think there is a very strong appetite for democracy right now, and I'm kind of excited to see voter turnout go up.
Well, we'll have to check in after the 20th and see where we are.
I might be eating my words, as I often do.
I appreciate you coming in to do this. It's a pleasure to meet you. And as I said before we started, I'm a great admirer of your work and the reporting that you do. So, I again, thank you for coming in to do this.
Well, right back at you, chum.
At Brent Richter is the Twitter handle. NSNews.com is the website. Brent Richter, join me in person here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planto.